Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 55 of Beyond the Supernatural. First things first, I come to you under harsh podcasting constraints. I am in an unergonomic position, leaned up against the side of my bed, podcasting abjectly on the floor, holding the microphone like a lowly stand-up comedian, as though there is something more lowly than a podcaster. And my baby is sleeping in the other room. I do apologize. If you detect any strangeness in the audio quality, any bumping and jostling, this is like a field recording from the life of a daily podcaster. So bear with me. But I do come to you today with urgent help that I think is much needed for Beyond the Supernatural and for gaming in general. So let's get right to it. We're still discussing the latent psychic PCC. This is the psychic character class for if you only kind of want to be psychic, you kind of want to play a character who could be psychic, like might be psychic, has a lot of potential to be psychic, but because of their irrational and deeply held belief that it's bad that demons exist, it just psychologically holds them back, so they never quite develop their powers. That's the defining trait of this class, and so it's quite natural that at the core of the class, you have the table that begins on this page, the outlook and orientation table. And what this table is, it's a big list of central basic ways that the character can view themselves and their psychic powers. This is the exact flavor of rejection of psychic powers or misapprehension of the nature of the supernatural that holds your character back, makes them a latent psychic instead of a full-on psychic. Now, the first thing I want to emphasize to give this game due credit, you get to choose if you want from this list. It is primarily a random table, but you are allowed to choose. And it's a good thing too, because as we're going to see, this is central to your play experience, and many of these outlooks are not just sort of subdivisions of the class, but really important defining archetypes, in some cases, almost character concepts. It's kind of your whole character in a lot of ways, and so you wouldn't want it to be totally random. However, the number one suggested option is to make it totally random. So Beyond the Supernatural bears some responsibility for putting this stuff on a random table at all. With that balanced critique in mind, I want to focus in on the very first entry on the Outlook table because it indicates a problem that can arise in any role-playing game, whether or not it involves a lot of random roles, but it's more prevalent in games that have random character generation, which I do love. And that is the problem of the player character who is unsuited to be a player character. You really want to get these player characters out of your game, and ideally you want to weed them out before they enter play. So I'm going to provide a classification system to help you identify these characters, and along the way we're going to talk about how this first outlook, which is called, quote, Fear's Psionic Abilities, runs afoul of these standards. First of all, let's get some basic grounding in this outlook. It is 1 through 10% on the table, so fully 10% of latent psychics who roll for their outlook will get this result, and here's what it is, quote, doesn't want them, meaning psychic powers, and has no desire to learn more about psychic phenomena. Tries not to use his powers and ignores the supernatural, but they keep manifesting themselves, and the latent can't keep denying seeing glimpses of the future, ghosts, and strange things in the shadows. Powers often engage without warning, can't stop them. The more this character is around other psychics, arcanists, and the paranormal, the more frequently the powers manifest. Then from there we get into the stats for this outlook. Each outlook gives you a base ISP, as well as a rate of development of ISP. It gives you some miscellaneous bonuses based on your perspective on your powers. It gives you your remaining PPE, as we talked about yesterday, you got a big chunk of unused PPE. And it gives you your powers, both your conscious powers and your unconscious powers. Your conscious powers are the ones you can deliberately choose when you use them. That's a minority of them. You also have your unconscious powers, which you have, but you don't get to choose when to use them. The GM just tells you when they activate, and it does cost you ISP, but you aren't in control of them. You can't use them when you want them. You can't turn them off when you don't want them. The exact nature and number of powers varies from outlook to outlook, as does ISP. So for the bottom of the barrel latent psychic, the frightened psychic, you start with 5 powers from the physical, sensitive, and machine psionics categories. At level 1, only 2 of those powers are available for you to use when you choose. And at levels 3, 6, and 12, you get 1 more power that you can deliberately use. So like through level 5, which is the mid-level of play in a typical campaign, even at that point, you will have 3 powers of your choice that you can use deliberately. Some of the Alex also have additional special abilities, and this one does. It has a powerful ability, an auto mind block, which totally defends the character against hostile mental intrusions because of their fearfulness. This is powerful, but really it's only prolonging the character's suffering because they fundamentally do not belong in a Beyond the Supernatural campaign. And how can I tell you that definitively? With my 4-step classification system. It's highly objective. You can tell because there's a specific number of points and they all start with the same letter. Just remember the code for the unsuitable player character, 4F. Just like in the military, unsuitable for service, apparently. I know this only from Captain America comics, which are my primary source of military knowledge. Many listeners, of course, will know better. But for our purposes here, Captain America is real, and 4F is the classification for an unsuitable player character. The first F is frightened. Some player characters are too scared to be player characters, and that obviously is the case with the frightened latent psychic. This character is not scared in a good horror way, really. This character is scared of everything. This character is not just scared of demons, right? Everybody's scared of demons. This character is not just scared of the fact that demons exist, which this character shares with all latent psychics, pretty much. This character is even scared of their own powers. This character is scared of other psychics. They're scared of the whole supernatural thing. They want to get beyond the supernatural in a different way from other player characters. It's like, you know, some people want to get beyond the job interview because they're looking forward to, like, finding their calling and doing fulfilling work. And other people want to get beyond the job interview in the sense of, let me just bomb this so I can go home and eat a frozen pizza and feel like a failure, but also like, I'm glad I don't have to wear a necktie going forward. That's the sense in which this character wants to get beyond the supernatural. Let the chips fall where they may, this character wants the supernatural out of their lives. If they could, they wouldn't have powers at all. And frankly, they're most of the way there. That brings us to F number 2, feeble. Exceedingly feeble player characters are not suitable to be player characters. Now, it's worth mentioning that we've encountered a lot of weak options in Playdium games, and typically, I don't consider a weak option to be the dumbest thing on a page, even if it is very weak. People want to play different things. Different stories demand different kinds of characters and different kinds of scenarios, different kinds of dramatic situations. Sometimes a part of that is a character or an ability that is weak relative to other characters or abilities, and that's totally fine. A weak option or even a weak character type is different from a character type that doesn't work. And that is what we're butting up against with the frightened latent psychic. What I want from a psychic character class, if nothing else, just let me please be psychic. May I please have some psychic powers if I'm playing a psychic? But this psychic's powers are minimal. That base ISP, it's a killer. 1d6 plus 2 ISP? I mean, it's randomized. You may choose or you may roll for your outlook. But once you get this outlook, you're sweating bullets looking at that d6. You don't even get a bell curve to fall back on. It is a straight shot. You roll 1 through 6. The odds are even that you'll get any of those 6 numbers. And if you roll a 1, you start this goddamn game with 3 ISP. Not only that, but this character actually has a custom version of the power equals proximity table that gives them lower multipliers for various situations. So like, while their ISP doubles in an investigation, it only triples instead of quadruples at the next stage, where you like find the actual poltergeist or whatever. So not only is this an extremely low base ISP, but it increases less than other characters' ISP in difficult situations. This is a tiny amount of ISP to spend. And this severely limits. I mean, you only get 2 powers that you can reliably use. I mean, just in the sense of being able to flip the switch on them and turn them on. Like, you've got other powers, but they're basically GM plot devices. You get 2 powers that you even have the theoretical ability to use. But with only 3 ISP and low multipliers, a lot of powers you just straight up can't use, except in the most extreme situations. And you don't want to take those powers as one of your 2 options, because if you do, you actually functionally aren't psychic until a dark god abducts you or whatever. You know, if you have a power that takes 12 or 18 ISP to use, you might as well not have that power until you are actually being chewed and digested by Cthulhu. Like, that's the only point at which you have enough ISP to actually activate the power. Most of the powers you can afford to use are like tiny little like sense evil, total recall. And even a power like total recall, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like memory powers, they're cool. But to have a great memory, but to recall a detail, you have to blow all your psychic power. We're talking about weak powers that you can barely use, and one use of these powers just taps you out. It's a psychic character class where if you don't play your cards exactly right, you're basically not even psychic. that's not just weak, it's a betrayal of premise. It's a true 4F. It's like, if I'm putting together my team of psychics to go, you know, take on monsters, like, none of us are great. It's beyond the supernatural. You know, Ghost Hunter, okay, you're cool. But for the most part, we're a bunch of unqualified, low-powered assholes who happen to be the only ones who responded to the Craigslist ad to go fight demons. Sure, I accept that. But the only reason that these goobers are being recruited to fight evil in the first place is because, however unqualified they may be, they're psychic. They're the best in a world full of bad choices to fight demons. And this character doesn't even have that going for them. On top of being scared shitless, not only of the demon, but also of, like, the people in the van on the way to go see the demon, the character also functionally doesn't have psychic powers if they rolled badly for ISP. And it would be different if, when the van gets to its destination, this beleaguered B.A. Baracus of a psychic lays a Mr. T beatdown on the demon at the end of the road. But that is not the case. And that brings us to the third F, flatline. Not only does this character start weak, but they barely improve. As I mentioned before, you get three additional powers you can control over the course of your whole goddamn career, and that's over a year's long campaign. Like, my sense is if you're only going to play this campaign for, let's say, 3 years, maybe even 4 years, you'll only ever have 3 to 4 powers you can actually use. But the big limiting factor is your ISP, which climbs at a rate of only 1 per level, because your character doesn't want to be psychic. They hate it. They want to go home. They actively resist learning about their powers. So not only does this character suck at the beginning, but this is like the heroic journey of the farm boy who leaves his farm and ventures into the dark woods and then up the dark steps to the dark castle, into the dark throne room, and through all of his many adventures, refuses to learn a goddamn thing. This motherfucker is late on his hero homework. He is still refusing the call when he's supposed to be slaying the dragon. He's going to have to take an incomplete on his entire heroic cycle, if he's lucky. So this is different from the scenario of, like, a wizard in old school D&D who starts the game deliberately bad, because low-level wizards are supposed to be bad in those versions of D&D, and that's the cost that you pay. It's the dues that you pay to be much stronger later. That's viable as a player character choice. It's a style of play. It may or may not be fun for any individual player or group, but it's viable to have the character who's awful now, but just wait until I get Fireball. I'll show them all. What you don't want, what makes you at least one quarter of a 4F, an unsuitable player character, is a flatline, a character who is bad and just stays bad, just steady on. This character, if you roll a 1 for ISP when you're level 1 and start with 3 ISP total, by the midpoint of the campaign, you will have 7 ISP. You will have just hit the base ISP of a typical starting character, and you'll still have fewer powers and be scared of everything. And you know what? You're probably not going to make it through the whole campaign up to that point to even get to the power level of a starting character, because F number 4, this character is a flight risk. Look, adventuring is tough. There's already a level of attrition in any player character group. There's the real life stuff where people move away, change jobs, have kids, break up with the person playing the cleric and marry the person playing the wizard, makes the whole group dynamic weird. This is a person I can envision having kids with, but at the same time, where am I going to get my heels now? There's all that real life stuff. Then, you know, there's player character attrition. Sometimes a monster is just going to kill a character. Sometimes a character is going to kill another character. Sometimes the cleric's going to kill the wizard for reasons that have nothing to do with the real life question of when the fighter started fucking the wizard exactly. Listen, things happen. You don't need to add on top of that a character who, right out the gate, day one, session one, in their backstory, in their motivation, on their character sheet, it's like, priority number one, let me get the fuck out of here. This character is defined by not wanting to be here. And this is different from frightened, because you can have a character who is scared, and that is its own problem, right? If you're scared, you may be less likely to engage foes. You may have it that if the character is played in character, they're going to make irrational choices that are bad for the group. You may find that this character doesn't want to work with the rest of the group if they're scared of them, right? In a scenario like this, where one character is actually scared of the other characters, a character who is scared of their own powers won't want to bring their assets to the table, which interferes with group problem solving. This is a separate issue from the flight risk, which is the character who, for fear or any number of other reasons, you know, maybe they've got in-character quests they're trying to achieve on the other side of the world. Maybe this is a character who's seeking some kind of transcendence and is, like, on their own path. For whatever reason, this character is looking for the first opportunity to leave the group and leave the adventure. And in this case, that reason is fear, but it could be anything. Any character whose primary goal is to get out of the campaign is bad for the campaign. Maybe fast forward their story a couple of beats and just call character creation a success and you never have to play them. Just, you know, this character found out they're psychic, they hate it. They discover there are other psychics. They hate that and they hate them. Two subcategories of hate there. I hate that there are psychics and I hate those psychics. Everything sucks. I'm scared of everything. I'm scared of myself. And while I can't run from the whole world, I can severely cut down the number of things I'm scared of by running off to an island by myself, or perhaps moving to a little tiny town in Oregon where there's nothing important enough for even the pettiest of demons to bother with. Let's just say that character, you know, we can finish making them, we can choose all their skills, give them their equipment, and send them on their merry way to the most boring place in the forests of Oregon, which is a hell of a competition. I don't know how you're going to calculate that one. Get on Wikipedia, start work. But wherever it is, that's where they retire, and they're no longer a psychic, and they're never a player character, and everybody's happy. Have fun nursing that 3 ISP for the rest of your uneventful life. What you don't want to do is put this person into the campaign where you've got a player who has to go through the whole process of making the character, then they got to show up for a few more sessions, not contributing very much, always looking for an opportunity to bail on the other player characters, the GM's continually having to struggle to keep them there, and then finally, eventually, the leash slips, there's a chance for the character to bolt and get out of danger, out of the situation they never wanted to be in, and they leave, leaving the party in a lurch, leaving the gaming group in a lurch, because now either this player is leaving or this player needs to stop and create a new character and introduce them in the middle of an adventure. Just don't have player characters who don't want to be there. This outlook is by far the dumbest thing on this page. It is a complete 4F, and that fact is compounded by this outlook being on a random table. I do get the appeal of random character generation. I like it. It's fun to create a character. It's like pulling the arm on a slot machine, right? You're hoping for that jackpot, you're hoping for those high stats, you're hoping for that rare ability to qualify for a really cool special subclass or power. Character creation can be a slot machine in your game, but there don't need to be any lemons on that machine. No one gains anything from me putting my figurative quarter of time and effort into your role-playing game and getting nothing. And that's really what this is. This is nothing. This is, you know, jackpot, lemon, wah-wah, no psychic powers. But isn't this beyond the supernatural? Like, couldn't we assume that I wanted to play a supernatural game with a supernatural character who functions in supernatural adventures and just have that be like the baseline, like the lowest level you can achieve in character creation? Now, granted, we are going to have an ordinary person character class later, but that makes this worse, because if I wanted to play an ordinary person without psychic powers, or for that matter, a parapsychologist with no psychic powers, I have those options before me. I chose latent psychic because I want someone with inconsistent, barely controllable, interestingly limited psychic powers. I don't want to play a character who's functionally not a psychic, and I especially don't want to play one who, if I'm playing them in character, is going to leave at the first opportunity, so I have to make another fucking character. Anyway, we have scraped the bottom of the barrel on rejection of psychic powers, which is the defining aspect of this character class, but we've arguably not yet scraped the bottom of the barrel in terms of outlooks. Join me tomorrow for that on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.